Chapter 2. A Whipping. Jude thanked the groom for attending to the horses and stepped up to the driver's seat. "Giddy up," he said, and the horses meandered forward, picking up speed as Jude clucked to them when they reached the wide path.
I'll take your colt, Mr. Johnson," the girl said. "I can't be a very good guard if I'm not healed."
Jude gave her a sidelong glance. "Please feel free to call me Jude. And I'll keep the gun shucked for now, thank you, Callie." She shrugged.
"Well, suit yourself. I'm a real good aim, though. Jesse James himself said I was better than anyone he'd ever taught before."
Jude sighed. "Our acquaintance will be much more pleasant without the tall tales."
"I'm telling the truth," she exclaimed.
Jude shook his head. He removed his whip from his hip and held it loosely in his right hand. A short time later, he cracked it in the air that flanked the horses. On their right side, they sidestepped to the left, smoothly, avoiding a felled tree without slowing.
"Well, that was impressive," Callie told him. "Hey, I'm good at aiming a whip, too. My pa owned more horses than anyone else in Missouri, so I know almost everything that there is to know about buggies and riding. It's in my blood."
"Did your pa ever turn you over his knee for your bragging and fibbing and in between raising all them horses?" he asked wryly.
"Well, no, I never met him, and my ma died when I was 7 years old. I grew up in an orphan's home, but I know all about my parents, and I turned out just like them. They were real fine folks."
That news gave him pause.
"Well, I'm sure they were," Jude said in a gentler voice.
"When did you leave the orphan's home?"
"Just a couple of days ago."
Jude wanted to ask what her business was in California, but he figured she'd probably tell him without him needing to ask. The girl was jawing at him like she hadn't spoken to anyone in ages. Sure enough, she explained the reason for her journey next.
"I'm going to California to meet my future husband. We've been writing letters to each other for 9 months now."
Her voice sounded hoarse by this point in their conversation, and she coughed a few times. Jude handed her his canteen. He'd noticed that she didn't bring along water or any other supplies, for that matter, except for a small pouch tied to her side.
So you're catalog bride, are you?"
Jude wasn't surprised, although passengers usually traveled in pairs. Occasionally, an unescorted woman would travel in his line. In that case, however, she nearly always traveled with the goal of reaching a man, be it her husband or fiancé. As a result, Jude met very few women who weren't spoken for. She nodded and took a long drink of water. "My fiancé is a miner, and he got rich off all the gold he found in California. He owns a big house with a wraparound porch and a well right out back, so I won't have to lug water too far."
Sounds fancy.
Wanted to ask her more like whether she had any proof that the man owned property. But it wasn't Jude's business. He was only responsible for getting people to their destination safely, not for ensuring their security once they arrived. His thoughts were interrupted by a moaning sound coming from the coach. He looked behind him and saw Mrs. Tucker sticking her head out the window and panting.
"Blazes," he muttered.
Sometimes he got lucky, but more often than not, he had at least one passenger who felt dizzy and nauseated during the journey.
"Is she all right?" Callie asked.
Jude turned his head forward. "Looks like she's already got the traveling sickness. There's not much to be done about that, I'm afraid." Callie fell into silence, and only noises that could be heard were the clip-clopping of horses' hooves, the rubbing of metal, and the leather in the coach, and, well, Mrs. Tucker retching out the window every so often. Jude's team traveled at a gallop along the road. When the path became narrower, the team would need to lug the coach uphill. They would have to be driven at a walk. But Jude took advantage of the clear path while he could in order to move their journey along. They needed to travel an average of 80 miles per day in order to reach their destination on time.
"Stop!" Callie called out suddenly. Jude frowned at her. "There's no stopping for another 20 miles," he said with a raised voice over the noise of the horse's hooves. "You must stop," she shouted back at him. He shook his head and continued to drive the horses forward, and then to Jude's immense surprise and complete horror, the girl reached over and tugged sharply on the left rein, shouting, "Whoa!" to the horses as she did. The horses were so confused by the contradiction between the boy's command to stop and the tug on the rein to move left that the halt was haphazard at best. The two front horses understood that someone had told them to stop and so slowed their steps, but the two back horses continued on at a quick clip to the left. This caused jolting and confusion and whinnying until Jude was able to communicate the stop to the back horses. When the dust settled, Jude breathed a sigh of relief even as his temper flared. Disaster had been averted, but the girl's stunt could have caused injury to the horses and passengers if the coach had tipped. He lifted the brake and turned to upbraid the girl, who had put everyone's safety at risk, but she'd already climbed off the coach and was running down the path in the direction from which they'd come. Damn and blast. Jude stepped down. "We'll be continuing on shortly," he said through gritted teeth to the four surprised passengers as he strode past them. "What happened? Why did the girl call for a stop?" the senator asked. Jude continued on his way without responding because he didn't know the answer to that question. He intended to find out why in a jiffy, however. The girl was crouched on the ground. As he neared, he saw that she was pulling up a weed at the base of the stem. She tugged it free from the dirt just as Jude reached her. He placed his hands on his hips as she stood and turned to face him. Beaming from ear to ear, Jude must have looked as angry as he felt, for her triumphant expression faded when she met his gaze. Severely, he said, "You endangered my horses and the other passengers. What were you thinking, trying to take over driving?" She blinked a few times and held out the plant timidly with an outstretched arm. I saw this on the side of the road." Her voice was small and had a pleading quality about it. "So?" he growled. "It's wild ginger root," she said quickly. "It'll help Mrs. Tucker with her nausea." Jude took a step toward her and held a finger to his face. "I don't care if you saw a pot of gold on the other side of the road. You never, ever interfere with a driver's team." I'm sorry, Jude," she said, her eyes wide. "I won't do it again." "That's for darn sure. The next home station is Pocello. When we get there, you will no longer be welcome on this coach. Now you march your bottom back up to your seat and keep it planted there for the rest of your short journey."
No, please," she cried, her eyes filled with tears. "Please don't leave me behind in Pocello. I promise I won't be in any more trouble."
Jude hated to see her cry, but he steeled himself. He couldn't tolerate such behavior from a passenger when he could endanger the others. He'd only ever kicked off two other people from his coach, and both were men who drank liquor during the journey, which was against the rules, and cursed in front of the lady passengers, also against the rules. What Callie had done was far worse, and he couldn't let it slide. He jerked his head in the direction of the coach, indicating that she was to move along. Her lower lip quivered.
"Please, can you punish me in some other way? I have to get to California. It's the only thing I want in the whole world."
Jude's anger began to wane as he listened to her pleading. He shook his head at her, more in disbelief over what she had done than in answer to her question.
You can split my portion of food with the other passengers. I'll go without," she suggested.
He sighed. "No, that's not gonna happen. I don't believe in starving my passengers." She sniffled.
"Please, don't leave me behind."
She wiped a tear with the back of her hand, and Jude felt the last of his anger slip away. After all, Her reckless action had been to help a passenger and was done in good faith. What further softened him was the fact that she did it for someone who'd been less than kind to her. "Callie," he said more gently than before, but still with a firmness in his tone, "I know you were only trying to help, and I know it's important for you to get to California. However, I can't allow behavior like that to go unpunished. What you did was out and out dangerous." She nodded, a glimmer of hope creeping into her wet eyes. "I understand, Jude, but can't you give me work to do or force me to ride up top or something?" Jude ran his hand along the beard on his jaw and studied her. She looked like a scared and desperate child. Very different from the proud little lady who'd been begging to him for the last few hours. He knew he wouldn't have the heart to leave her behind. She looked so vulnerable, too vulnerable to be on her own. And the only punishment he thought fitting was a spanking. Yes, that's what she needed. A good blistering that would leave her temporarily sore but would impart a lasting lesson. He folded his arms in front of his chest. "Tell you what, if you submit to some old-fashioned discipline, now consider the slate wiped clean." She blinked and stared into his eyes.
Old-fashioned discipline? Like a whipping?"
He nodded once. "Yes, like a whipping." She looked down and took only a brief moment to decide.
"All right,"
she said softly in the direction of the ground. "Very well." Jude glanced at the coach behind him and noticed that the passengers had alighted and were wandering about. He was behind schedule because of the girl's stunt, and a spanking would only add more time to the delay. Still, he reckoned it was better to punish her now, ensuring a well-behaved passenger for the remainder of the journey as opposed to waiting till they reached their first stop. "Come with me," he said, and led her the way around the bend out of sight of the other passengers. There was no need to add the humiliation of witnesses to her punishment. He stopped, unclasped his gun belt, and placed it on a rock by the side of the road. "How far away should I walk?" she asked, her voice trembling. She looked at him fearfully. Jude felt confused by her question. "You don't need to walk anywhere. Just turn around and bend over a little. Place your hands on your knees." She set the weed down and obeyed. Jude couldn't help but notice how comely she looked, bent over, waiting for her punishment. She had shapely hips and a round, pert bottom.